Chapter 1. My name is Vivian Devine. I have a secret. I know how I'm going to die. No one would believe me if I told them. Not that I would, or could. Someone's always watching. Sometimes I see the tip of a gray head in my window, or an eye behind a fish tank. They're always there. A silver sedan pulling out of my driveway. A glimmer of gold in a dark room. My dad says he doesn't see anything. I know he doesn't. He doesn't see me. Since my mother died 6 months ago, he's lost himself in his work. Now the only time I see him is behind a camera. He's the most famous director in Hollywood, and that means he's busy all the time. Too busy for me. But he still finds time to go to all the right parties, make all the right appearances. Last month, he skipped my 16th birthday party to go to another honorary memorial for Mom. We're talking caviar and champagne, everyone forgetting to be sad in their designer dresses. When he got home, I said, "You missed my birthday again." I almost added, "like the last 5 years," but I stopped myself. "I was working," he said, as if he's ever not working. At least in the before, he had a reason to come home, a reason he cared about. Now he's out every night, drunk on his own misery. In my life, there's always a before and an after. In the before, when I was an Oscar nominee for Best Actress as one of the youngest stars in history, Mom and I wore matching heart necklaces to the ceremony. In the after, when I was voted ETV's Teen Actor of the Year, my mom was dead, and my heart was broken. I don't remember much about the morning my mom was kidnapped, but I do remember that she wasn't wearing makeup. For a woman who'd been voted Hollywood's most beautiful woman 3 years running by Celebrity Magazine, that's a big deal. She didn't even go to bed without putting on lipstick first. But that day, she dropped her lipstick and didn't pick it up. We all forgot about it. Dark red melted into the carpet by my room. 3 days later, when the police found her face down, a knife through her back, an ETV memorial special was broadcast on her life, and every gruesome detail of her death. I saw it only once, but Dad watched it over and over, whiskey glass in one hand, gun in the other. So when I found a DVD of Mom's ETV memorial special in my fan mail this morning, I couldn't bring myself to watch it. But I saw the note. It wasn't typed on a typewriter or in cutout newspaper letters like you see in the movies. It was just Times New Roman font, like a business letter. It said, "This is how you die." Dad wouldn't believe me if I told him. He thinks I'm imagining all of it. The glimmer of gold, the silver sedan, the eye that is sometimes blue, sometimes brown. But Dad doesn't notice anything anymore, especially me. Ever since his suicide attempt was splashed across the news, he's stayed as far away from me as possible. He doesn't want to remember the way I found him, blood winding down his neck from where the bullet nicked him as he pulled the gun away from his head just in time. How the news said he'd attempted to commit suicide, like it was the only thing he'd ever failed at. Dad doesn't like to fail. And since he can't fix me, I haven't told him about the nightmares that wake me up screaming, or about the memories I've had of Mom since she died. They always come when I least expect them and leave me quivering in terror, obsessed with the guilty feeling that somehow it must have been my fault. Mary's the only one who knows about my guilt. Since Dad hired her 2 years ago, Mary and I have been together 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We're so close, we finish each other's sentences. We practically breathe at the same time. And she's not only my bodyguard. She's the closest thing I have to a mother now that Mom's gone. Mary knows things about me that no one else does, like the way I haven't felt happy since Mom died. Or the ice that's frozen inside of me that keeps getting thicker, separating me from the rest of the world. The ice, I'm afraid, will crack and tear me apart. Mary says it's important to continue working to keep my mind busy. You'll remember when you're ready, she says, rolling her R's in a thick Latin purr. Don't dwell on it. I don't have time to dwell anyway. I always have to be on guard. At home, the paparazzi climb over the fence and pop up in my windows trying to get shots of me to sell to the papers. At work, I have to watch every step. Sets are dangerous places, according to Mary, and at Star Studios, there are whole sets built to blow up small buildings, light fires, reenact a flood. Some mornings, I'm running from wild mechanical beasts or dodging a hurricane. You don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, Mom used to say, refusing to let me go out with my boyfriend Pierre another Saturday night. Mary used to tell Mom she should let me be a normal teenager. But Mom said I wasn't a teenager. I was a teen star. A teen star has a list of rules a mile long,